Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon. They've dragged me to a shopping centre to present to you a half an hour of cravings. We're going to talk iconic St Kilda restaurant and the very appropriate place they've put me is right in front of the bottle store. You can't get much of a better location for somebody like me than that. There's a kitchen goods store across the road and there's a deli to my left. All good. Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. We do this every week, but today we're doing it for a little less time. So it's all about quality over quantity today. We are, of course, in Ackland Court in St Kilda on Ackland Street, celebrating its 16th birthday. And this is a live outside broadcast, which is going to celebrate all of those things that are, I would like to say, indigenous to Ackland Court. These places that are one-off stores. I'm standing in front of a chain liquor store, so that idea has just completely gone out the window, and I am waiting for somebody to bring me a chilled glass of something from inside. Surely there's a tasting. Callum, you might need to work on that one. Delicatessen and fine food store to my left, and a kitchen goods store in front of me. And one of the nicest blokes in food and wine standing to my right, Paul Cooper, welcome.
Nicest blokes?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people would say that about me.
Oh, look, I'm sure there are. I think you're underselling yourself. Your wife texted me earlier and said, can you please say nicest blokes? You're now the new team at the Dogs Bar, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but have we got the best location to do a broadcast?
Oh, wow, I love the balloons.
Well, we can give you one of those to take home if you'd
balloons
like.
Balloons that are walking away from me.
Moving balloons. There's women dressed in sparkly stilettos, there's cupcakes, and of course, even if you're going to come down and walk past, pick up a raffle ticket because we've got some beautiful baskets of prizes that you can win. It doesn't cost you anything, but please make sure that lady's got a raffle ticket as she walks past us. To win free stuff, because it's free stuff. We are, of course, celebrating 16 years at Ackland Court, and we're celebrating the your new life, if you will. You're a Melbourne boy. You went trooping up to Sydney for a little while to open a restaurant up there, which is going like the clappers.
That's right.
As they say, Bishop Sessa in Surry Hills. And then, of course, you're back to sort of work. It's a tale of two cities almost, isn't it?
It is, and it's a close thing to my heart. The Dogs Bar in St Kilda is a wonderful venue. Great history about it, and I am really pleased to be in charge of restoring it to its old iconic
status
level.
Yeah. It is, of course, just down the road from us here in Ackland Street. It is one of probably the most known places in Ackland Street. It's had a bit of a curly past over the last few years, but it's
much like the floor, checkered.
Yes, a checkered past. That's a very good choice of words. Let's talk a little bit about you first, because that's the important thing. You were born on the peninsula.
That's right, Mornington Peninsula.
And the Mornington Peninsula, of course. And then came into Melbourne to hone your craft as a chef.
That's right, and spent some time overseas at some well-respected restaurants.
Well, let's talk about one of those, Pied à Terre. It's a Michelin, two Michelin-starred restaurant, which means it's pretty much one of the finest going around in London. You're working with a Perth boy by the name of Shane Osborne.
That's right, one of the best Australian chefs doing the rounds. He is amazing.
Where is he these days? It's an interesting question I've been thinking about.
Hong Kong. Hong Kong.
Honkers.
Yeah, he's just taken over his own place. And don't ask me the name, please don't.
No, I wasn't going to. I was just going to say, do we envisage that place will have more Michelin stars?
No. He's at the state in his career where I think he's done his hard yards and wants a profitable venue rather than a Michelin-starred venue.
Well, talk to those that don't know. Michelin, of course, is the worldwide guide for the best restaurants in the world.
Correct.
It's one of probably three. Doesn't exist in Australia because we're too far away.
That's right.
And if it did, we'd probably be looking at Attica, Bray, Sepia, Bishop Cesar all holding Michelin stars.
These are the kind of places that would...
One would assume.
Right.
So the Michelin guide, the Michelin rating system, three stars means that it's in a very elite company.
Correct.
Two stars means it gets three stars.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep dropping names because it's going to happen through the next half an hour, but Marco Pierre White spoke to me a little while ago saying that he spent so much time focused on star number three that it cost him a lot. And I think that similar to the three hats that we have here in Melbourne and Sydney.
Cost Marco his sanity, didn't it?
Well, I don't know. We put that out to the jury for debate. I think Marco would question that now because he's calmed down a lot. But it is sort of the pinnacle, particularly in Europe and North America.
Yeah, it is very hard to achieve. You've got to be very finicky about how you do it. It's very precise. It's very anal retentive. It's an almost unattainable standard of cooking that has to be done. It's perfection.
Would you go through the process again of working in a Michelin-starred restaurant at level two looking for a third star?
I would, absolutely. It's still in my blood to do that sort of food. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's a very different scenario what we're doing at the Dogs Bar, but it is something that I really enjoy doing. So.
Well, I also want to talk about Bishop Cesar, which of course is in Surrey Hills. Is there that desire to see Bishop get to a three-hatted level, or is it a two-hatted restaurant in your mind?
It's too far away in a financial sense. We'd have to spend too much money on the venue to get it to that standard. We can serve food at that standard, but the remainder of the venue will never be there because we'd have to put more money than I can afford.
It's an extraordinary madness, I think, in some regards to get to a point. I think it's I'm trying to remember who it was. They had the restaurant in Sydney, had three hats, and said, "No, take them away. I can't deal with this pressure."
Oh, that was Peter.
I know Peter, it was Peter
Doyle.
Peter Doyle at Watson's Bay, correct. And it must be extraordinary pressure on you as a chef and on others as a venue operator to get there.
It is, and you feel it every day. We don't have that status at Bishop Cesar yet. We've got a very good reputation. But it is a high pressure on you day in, day out to achieve a certain standard. And if staff aren't performing to that standard, you get very angry at them. And hence the reason Marco lost his sanity.
No, you don't get angry at them. You just encourage them to be better. Look, I'm going to play a bit of a song that I'm dedicating to your particular day today because it's probably absolutely what you're going to be doing. You're listening to Joy 94.9. We are, of course, out loud and proud at the Ackland Court Shopping Centre in St Kilda celebrating Ackland Court's 16th birthday.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, celebrating the 16th birthday of the Ackland Court Shopping Centre in St Kilda. Joy 94.9, out loud and proud.
Oh, we are out loud and proud right here in the middle of Ackland Court Shopping Centre, in front of a liquor store, which I think is just absolutely perfect for me. I am still waiting for that sample, please. Kellum Riesling, if you can find one. Off-dry would be great. The delicatessen is beside us. Look, there's a kitchen store in front of us. There's a very large store over there that we'll give that one a lift and we'll look up to our left because there's lots of gorgeous little stores here in this local shopping centre. And, of course, I'm with Paul Cooper from Dogs Bar and Bishop Cesar Dogs Bar just up the road from us, also in Ackland Street, an iconic St Kilda venue. How did you and Rez Gordon, who's also a Melbournean, running a restaurant in Sydney, come back to Melbourne to take over Dogs Bar?
How did we do it? We did it foolishly. I mean, who in their right mind would take on a second venue in a different state?
Yeah, it's not like you've got buying power or collective staffing issues that you can utilise. It's you know, it's almost 1,000 miles away.
It is. But we have installed people that we trust, and it's all about trust. You need to have people that are good at their job.
As they should be.
And if anyone knows anyone who's good at their job, tell them to get in touch with me, please.
Okay, go down to Dog's Bar and drop off your resume by the sound of that one. What are you looking for? Chefs, floor staff?
Always everything.
Always everything, exactly. A couple of things that have already happened. So you guys have only been there a little while. A couple of things that already happened. There's a charcuterie bar on the bar.
That's right.
So how much of that charcuterie, that beautiful cold and cured meats, are you making in-house?
We are going to get to a stage where we will make 90%. There's some stuff that you can't make legally.
Well, you can't air dry jamon for 18 months in a back room, can you?
No, unfortunately the health regulations would have a field day with you if you did that. So we'll make a lot of the stuff that we can ourselves, a lot of the dry cured stuff that you can do in a cool room we'll do, and make a lot of our sausages, fermented sausages that are short-term process that don't grow bacteria that's going to kill someone.
How do you ferment a sausage?
Cultures. Cultures, Pete, you know
cultures.
This.
Cultures. I'm full of cultures. I'm very cultures, please. So all of that sort of stuff you're doing over the bar. One of the other things that's interesting, I think there's the pending wine list of 25 whites, 25 reds, all Australian wines, so really well supporting the Australian wine industry.
All Australian and all by the glass.
All by the glass. They How do you do 50 wines by the glass?
Oh, with great difficulty, and you've just got to make sure you get the right number of people coming through. A good, interesting list, you know, lots of variety there. And choose some wines that are iconic that people recognise.
And look, that's quite often one of the things we see on wine lists, that there are wines that we don't recognise. We're like, what the devil is a Gewürztraminer or a Grüneveltliner? Well, and where does it come from? And you know, why should I drink it?
You do have to have some of those, but you've got to build a certain amount of trust in the staff before you will order those.
Yes.
And you need to make sure that the staff know what they're serving so that they can sell it to you. Describe the wine.
So it's obviously a couple of Aussie Sauv Blancs. I don't think you can have a wine bar in this town still to this day without having a glass of Sauv Blanc.
You cannot have a wine bar without a Sauv Blanc, unfortunately.
I'm assuming they're going to come from southwest WA and perhaps the Adelaide Hills?
Ah, yes, yes.
That's
where the best cat's piss is grown, isn't it?
I don't know that we should be using that language, but yes, you say that very fondly. And then, of course, there's a couple of things, and that, like I said before, a couple of things going on already. Oysters.
Oysters, that's right. We have $1.50 happy hour, so between 5 and 7 every night of the week. We do oysters for $1.50. They are opened in front of your eyes.
Shucked, I believe the word
shucked
in front of you.
Yes.
We would think of oysters as something we would have at Christmas or Valentine's Day or sort of in those warmer months, but am I correct in saying that the best season is right now for oysters?
Best time to eat an oyster is when it's cold. They start to spawn when it gets warmer. When the water gets warmer, they start to spawn a little bit, which is, you know, the creamy oyster, still fine to eat. But during winter, they have a much more minerally flavour.
I was going to say, what's the difference in taste?
Much more minerally, like I say. And a little bit salty, a little bit briny. They're really, really got their real flavour during winter. The true flavour of an oyster comes
And that's
through.
The best time to get an oyster. Of course, you go down, grab a dozen and a bottle of Prosecco for a nice cheap price. We probably won't talk price because I might get in trouble.
Oh, well, sorry about the $1.50 mention before then.
Another little sort of happy hour type thing that you're doing. So oysters and Prosecco, we know oysters and champagne. If you're in Australia, we don't produce champagne, obviously, because we're not allowed to.
We do not.
So Prosecco made very well up in the King Valley, the Pizzinis and the Del Zotto is probably two of the finest examples of Prosecco in the country.
They are indeed, and we have the Del Zotto one, and it is a cracking Prosecco. And Prosecco's a tame style of the champagne.
So, it's made slightly differently, though. So
it is, right.
They use a Charmat method. Here we go. Here's Mr. I Know It or Know Everything. They use a Charmat method, which is... it's fermented in tanks, stainless steel tanks and bottles rather than... I can't remember now. I knew all about it and all of a sudden...
Stainless steel tanks rather than the bottles and...
But they can go under a crown seal, which is the important thing.
That's great.
Rather than using cork, which means there's less potential for taint.
That's right. So less wastage on our behalf.
We want people to come down. Look, I'm sure that there is some very fine examples of both Prosecco and Champagne in this celebrations at St Kilda Liquor Store behind us. We are in the middle of Ackland Court. Ackland Court celebrating 16 years, their sweet 16th birthday. They don't look a day over 12. I did say that earlier, I think. And there's lots for people to come and do. We've got... There's face paintings, and I'm going to go and get my face painted when we finished, I think, because I want to look like Captain America. And if anybody can work that miracle, good for them. We have Fairy Moss, who is the face painter. She's over there wearing a very magnificent hat. Have a look at it.
Oh, wow.
It's extraordinary. I think I need that for this year's cup season.
We've got peacock feathers in there.
Yes, dangerous, I think. We've also got Crumpet the Clown making balloon animals, which all look very fantastic. And there are these wonderful prizes to win. All you have to do is walk past and pick up a raffle ticket. We'll draw it, and you could take away a prize. There's champagne from... Oh, there is champagne, see, from the store behind us. I didn't think I was wrong. There's prepaid phones, there's eye care, there's jewellery, there's laundry. You can come get your dry cleaning done. Haircuts, soy candles as well. Every house needs a soy candle, I believe.
All the rage.
So all of that is down here. You can come and get that all for free. The Dogs Bar, I did mention, has had a bit of a checkered past in the last few years. I don't want to go into the past, but what's the future look like? She's a grand old dame of St Kilda. She's been around since the days of Don Levy Fitzpatrick, and you know, Don Levy was highly respected as a member of our industry. How much of an homage are you going to pay to the history of the place, as much as giving it a revival?
There are elements of the Dogs Bar that cannot change. You know, you walk in there and you know it's the Dogs Bar. So yep. We're going to have to enhance that. We're going to restore some of the Don Levy favourites. There's some lighting and certain things that we're going to put back in place that Don Levy had.
For those of us that can remember, because you're a bit younger than I am, you could go in and you could have a glass of Shiraz for $10, a lovely glass of Shiraz, a plate of pasta, and the world was good again.
Mm, that's right. And we will put in place a glass of Shiraz and a pasta special.
Yep.
Again, that'll be available all the time. And that is one of the classics of the Dogs Bar. So they used to call it the Dogs 1, 2 and 3.
Yes.
It was a pasta, glass of wine. We'll have that back on.
You've got a bit of a focus on using seasonality really, really well, using locality, making sure that everything that you produce, you can produce in-house. And there's also a nose-to-tail philosophy.
That's correct.
How much of that are we going to see in what you create at the Dogs Bar?
We will use only local ingredients. We'll use small farmers, pigs that are ethically raised. I've got some good contacts, some good friends in the
industry. I was going to say, we can give probably a shout-out to Greenvale Meats, who are racing wonderfully.
He was the first person I called, Anthony.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's been a guest on this show a number of times. He's a good bloke, Anthony.
Yes, and we've got his prosciutto at the moment, and it's amazing, that prosciutto.
He has an air-dried chorizo that you have to get hold of, because it is... I know you're going to do all of your own, but the air-dried chorizo, I think it's one of the nicest things I've ever eaten.
Wow, yes, that's coming from you, Pete,
it's
I know
not
you've
faint
eaten
praise.
A lot.
I clearly look like I've eaten a lot as well. So as much as there's some of those traditions, what are some of the new things that we can expect that you guys will be doing there that are going to...
Well, all pastas are going to be made in-house. So there'll be no packet-bought pasta, no store-bought pasta. It's all going to be made in-house. So we'll be doing our own tortellinis, agnolottis, linguine. Everything will be done on-site. In the future, we're going to put a rooftop bar... pizzeria in place, still final
upstairs.
Designs coming in, that's right. So that'll be a huge deal when that happens, and that'll be, you know, good fun, good views.
Melbourne's got a bit of a thing at the moment for sitting on the rooftop having a glass of red wine and eating a pizza.
Well, it's very Melbourne, it doesn't happen in Sydney.
Well, true, it's the real estate's too expensive to put anything on a rooftop, I think, isn't it?
That's right, it's too old. People will fall through the buildings.
How do you manage that transition between being a you know, having a sort of a fine diner in Sydney and then coming to Melbourne for a couple of days a week, overseeing your team?
It is really joyous for me. Come down here, it's a little bit more laid back. I can do charcuterie, I can work on some nice rustic dishes, some good home cooking. Whereas in Sydney, it's a little bit more refined, a little bit more intense, a little bit more hard work. Well, not hard work, that's the wrong question.
How much more demanding is your Sydney audience than a Melbourne audience?
I wouldn't say they're more demanding, but they have high expectations, as everyone does.
I know some of those Sydney restaurant critics, and I can assure you that they are far more demanding than Melbourne.
Oh, who are you referring to?
Oh, I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't probably count. I think you know who
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I'm never diplomatic. It's a really interesting... it's probably a really interesting dichotomy for you, in that you try very hard to please that sort of almost self-imposed elitism of Sydney, and yet here
it's
we're...
It's really funny. Let me tell you a very quick story.
Yes.
When we first came down back to the Dogs Bar, took it over after 3 days, we had a lady say to us, "You can't come here and open a Sydney bar." We kicked her out. She was drunk. Completely.
Did she realise that both of you are from Melbourne?
But I'm from Melbourne. Mate.
Yes.
Exactly. So how can you tell me that?
And Arez Gordon, we need to talk a bit about Arez. He's also a Melbourne boy, your
yes.
business partner.
That's right.
In both restaurants. He used to run the floor at Jacques Raymond. He was the maitre d'. He was the GM at the Botanical.
That's right.
He's got some very good hospitality chops as well.
He's very, very well educated.
He is. And, you know, I guess the thing about both of you is you understand this market, and as much as you've learned about that north of the border market, this is home. You know this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Sydney took a year to break into before we actually started to be
they
comfortable.
They are a tough crowd,
mate.
They're a very, very, very tough crowd.
It was a very tough first 6 months, very tough first 8 months, and then it started to turn, and people started to accept what we were doing. Whereas Melbourne, you know, we know Melbourne people. We've got Melbourne friends. We know.
Well, this is home, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And I guess we've seen the same thing where Melbourne chefs, Sydney chefs, have come to Melbourne. They've opened restaurants and they haven't worked.
Melbourne were very welcoming. As soon as we announced that we were coming here, the amount of well wishes that were in touch with us was phenomenal.
Well, mate, it's good to have you home. It's good to have you back in Melbourne, and it's good to see the Dogs Bar in. And I'll be slightly biased here, in very, very capable hands. So, success to you and Arez. Thanks for joining me today. I know that you've got to get on a plane. So, that last song was dedicated to you, from St Kilda to King's Cross by Paul Kelly. We are here for the remainder of the afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So, come down to Ackland Court, get some raffle tickets, have some cupcakes, say hello to the team here from Joy 94.9, because, of course, everyone's coming in to do their usual shows. John and Steph are up very shortly. They're going to drive you through the next half hour, at least, of this program. Paul Cooper, thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I've been Pete Dillon. This has been a very shortened version of Cravings. And right now you're going to hear from Danny Minogue, I believe. He's the greatest dancer, which I'm sure is dedicated to me. You're listening to Joy 94.9, out loud and proud, at the Ackland Court Shopping Centre in St Kilda, celebrating the 16th birthday.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.